Well, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday with Joe and Angel, where we take a little time and answer questions that people have mailed in and emailed in and called in. So we try to look through them, try to pick out the ones we think are the most common that people are dealing with today. And so we picked up some today. So Angel, let's jump in.
All right. I find happiness in being able to work and travel with my spouse. I'm also finding that my spouse does not have the same need to always be around one another.
Whoa.
On one hand, we love each other very much. On the other hand, being with each other 24/7 has affected our marriage. One of us feels loved when we aren't together all the time, and the other feels loved when given some alone, quiet time.
Whoa.
What can we do so that we aren't feeling unloved or overwhelmed? Sorry, we can't relate to that at all.
No, we can't.
Well, since Joe and I live and work together, we're together a lot.
A lot. A whole lot.
So.
But we communicate well.
So sometimes I say, Joe.
She'll say, Joe, I need some space. Go to another room. So I come to my office. And then usually in about 30 minutes to an hour, she'll come in. Joe, I'm sorry. You can come back in. No, I'm fine right here, sir. Trust me. I love you. And there's a thing where this is going to sound horrible, but it's true. You want to marry somebody you don't need, because you only need God. Now, if you're leaning on God, you're going to be fine. Doesn't matter where you're at or who you're with, because people have ruined more marriages just sucking the life out of one another. I love you. I want to be with you. I want to be with the rest of my life. I want to be with you when Jesus comes, but I don't need to be around you all the time. I don't, you know. And people say, do you not love me? Yeah, sure. I married you. I love you. I do love you. I'm doing anything you want me to do. You ask me something, the answer's going to be yes. Is the answer not yes 99% of the time?
Yes, it is.
It is. And so I want to serve you. I want to love you. But even Jesus got away by himself every day for a little bit of time. Even the Son of God got some alone time.
Well, I have a friend that, so my language of love is quality time. If you love me, you'll spend time with me. But occasionally, I do need a little break, because Joe's language of love is also quality time. So we have to kind of
put some space in there, like yes. Dominoes. Don't put them next to one another. Kind of space them apart.
Like when Joe got a knee replacement.
Whoa.
And I'm not a great nurse, I'll tell you.
No,
right,
horrible nurse. No, the Red Cross would fire her before noon. She'd be fired.
Yeah. So Joe would get it. He would get up every day during the days he had the therapy, and he'd go, who are you going to go visit today? And I said, whoever is available. So anyway.
But the greatest thing is that we understand each other's love language, which is different. And Angel saved my life. I mean, I've loved two women in my life, you know, and I think I tell Angel, I've never been this deep in love. I've never loved anybody as much as I love Angel. And this is my second run. And I love my first wife, man. It was God gift. And, but she went to heaven. And so I got remarried. So you think about it. So I was looking up scriptures a long time, like, you know, Abraham married Sarah. Well, Sarah died. Well, he got remarried and had six more kids. And I'm sure somebody went tried to interview him. Hey, do you ever miss Sarah? And he said, who? Because you are who you're with. And so don't live in your past. Don't live somewhere you don't. And so learn to love one another. Just serve one another. I tell people a marriage is a funeral. Hallmark has the cards all wrong. It should say, I'm so sorry. I heard you got married. Because you get married, you die, because you can't die. A covenant is somebody's got to die to have a covenant. You're standing before hopefully a preacher and a witness saying, for the rest of my life, I'm living for you. The rest of my life, I want to serve you and love you and live for you. You are what I want to live for. And so you have no more opinions. I've had grown men, Christian grown men. When do I get to choose? You don't. You're dead. You died the day you got married. It's a covenant. You can't have a covenant unless somebody dies. So you're going to live your life for them. And if you'll do that, they'll suck the lips off your face eventually, because love is a powerful thing, guys. It really, really is.
I know a young couple that are dating, and her father her parents had divorced, and so she has some rejection issues. And one time this young man, they both got sick, and he said, well, why don't you just go home so I can get some rest? Well, she got mad, and he called his dad and said, Dad, what'd I do? And he goes, man, you hit a trigger. That's a trigger.
Ooh, so, where's the bumper sticker on that one?
Yeah, so, you know, you have to take into account someone's, what their filter is like, and be gentle in how you say it. But I'd say to Joe, and I don't say it like exactly like he said, I usually say, Joe, this might be a great time for you to go to your office for a little bit.
She's very friendly.
And so
now listen, we got married and she'll tell you, I told Angel, I love you, but I'm not perfect. And somewhere in our marriage, I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm going to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. So I was going to let you know up front, I'm not perfect, but I will repent quick and I will forgive quick, but I'm not perfect. So we're going to hit a bump every now and then.
I do love you though.
Yes, she does. Woo. Merry Christmas to me. Stick a bow right here. Stick a bow.
Okay. My coworker is constantly taking credit for the work I do for the company.
No.
I know as Christians, we're supposed to give all the glory to God, but this is frustrating. Should I let my boss know that it was me all along doing the work, or just let it go and let God work it out?
God does not work unless he has a human. People don't get saved. God cannot save anybody unless somebody goes and witnesses. People don't get fed unless somebody goes and feeds them. People don't get help unless somebody goes and helps. God's the creator of the universe, but he cannot move except through a human. That's why he had to send his son to earth. That's why there are Christians. God only moves through humans. And so you're going to have to get some flesh involved for this to change. And would you please pick up right there and make some more comments?
Well, I mean, I've worked in the corporate world, and that can go either way, you know, on you. So I would really pray about it.
Best thing is Matthew 18:19, deal with it one-on-one. And I've been in the corporate world for 12 years, three different companies. And eventually you got to get somebody face-to-face. I'm sorry, did you tell them you did that? Would you like to go tell them the truth? Or I can, but I'm going to let you go tell the truth. You didn't do that. You know, I did that. Now, I'm going to let you go fix it, but if you want to, I can fix it for you, because we're going to have to come to, because if you can't sell things one-on-one, the Bible says, go get another witness. So I'll get Frank over here. He knows what happened. And then we'll all go see the boss, but you're going to do what's right. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you don't, I will do what's right. So eventually you can't just leave it in God's hands. I've heard that my whole life. I'm going to leave it. God doesn't have any hands. You see, not like we think of hands. God uses human hands. God uses human voice, human feet. You know, God uses him. Unless a human gets involved, it won't change. You can't, well, I'm just going to roll over to God. No, he won't do anything. God works through humans. So pray for somebody else to get involved, but he's got to have some flesh somewhere.
Yeah, but I would definitely pray about it and let the Holy Spirit lead you on how to address it.
Don't do it today.
No, because otherwise it's going to build up in you and fester, and
you'll blow up.
And then that was not going to go in your favor.
It won't look good.
Okay, I lost my dad a few years ago. Since then, my mom has retired and is living with my older sister. I'm newly married, and I live over 1,000 miles away from my family. This is a different stage of life for me and for my mom. I find myself concerned about her happiness. Sometimes she seems lonely and depressed. Other times she seems okay. What could I do to help?
I'm going to let you take this. You're not going to like my answer.
What does that mean? I'm not going to like, well, I feel the same way because I've just recently moved back to Florida where my mother is.
Yes.
But for 3 years, I lived over 1,000 miles away.
Yes.
And, you know, every time I talked to her, she said, when are you coming home? When are you going to be here? Da, 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 da. So you feel that pull.
Yep.
But truthfully, you're not responsible for your mom's happiness.
Nope.
And that's hard. Now, for me, it's very difficult because my mother is struggling with Parkinson's disease, and she is in a nursing home. recently, and is going through a very difficult stage of this terrible disease. And I can't make her happy. I can't. I mean, I go and sit and watch the Hallmark Channel with her and take her cookies or whatever. Yeah. Although yesterday my brother told me I wasn't allowed to take her any more cookies. And so, but it is hard. And because you feel that weight, as I think women naturally carry that guilt.
Yep.
And condemnation as a daughter. But truthfully, if you were there every day, there's still going to be times that you'd talk to her and she'd be sad.
Yep.
There'd still be times you'd talk to her and that she'd be.
You're not God. Now listen, I'm with ancient. Now we had all of our parents, my first wife, our parents all got old at the same time. We actually boarded up our house and moved three states away to the town where our parents lived. And for the next 5 years, we buried four parents and a sister. And eventually I buried a wife in 5 years. And what you do? Well, we went to take care of them. One developed Alzheimer's. One got cancer. One just got old and finally got the flu and died. It's like, and it was just horrible. I mean, but it was part of life. Life has a beginning and it has an end. So, but we were 30, we were for 30 years, we were five states away. Then we'd come twice a year and we'd see them. Not call, anything you need, what's going on? And when it got to where we realized they cannot take care of themselves, we're going to have to get involved. And so, well, what are you going to do? There's no one else to call. So we're going to have to load up and move there and take care of them. And we did until we buried everybody. And now, would you recommend that? I don't recommend anything to anybody. You better listen to God. But like Angel said, you got to do what's right. There's just times and stages of life where there's nobody else. So I'll do what I can do. But even in the middle of that, what Angel said is critical. We moved here and I love living here. I love being around her family. Got your brothers and everybody. I've seen everybody. I love being here. I love the state. But we have to remind each other, we're still not God. We'll do what we can do. But what happens, you'll end up wearing yourself out, trying to do what only God can do. So the greatest thing you've learned, I love about Angel and family, they tell the truth. They're just real blunt. They just tell
sometimes
the truth.
Sometimes a little too much.
Well, no, it's good, though, because if you're not telling the truth, you're half lying, and that's the same as lying, and liars go to hell. So you got to be truthful with one another. Can you do this? Can you come visit? No, can't come visit. Be there tomorrow. Can't visit today. Well, can you stay longer? No, can't stay longer. Got to go. Got things got to do. I have my own life, my own schedule. I love to come, sing to you, watch something with you, bring you some chicken, but got to go. And so you just got to set your own standard. So,
yeah. Just do what you can.
Yes. That ought to be a bumper sticker. Do what you can.
Okay, guys. Mr. Chatty here today and I are going to sign off now.
Well, I'll let you talk next time.
No, I'm kidding. I love to hear you talk. So we love you guys very much. Thank you for all you do. And we will see you next
time.
Listen,
we live in the greatest time of human history, guys. Don't let the world mess you up. God's moving like a freight train. He's very excited right now. More people being saved than the history of the church. So don't get feeding on bad news. Bad news travels fast, like a striking a match to a gasoline light. There are good things happening. So focus on the good, not yes. on the bad. God That's bless. Right. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.